You know, we just need to trust in what Jesus did for us. You know, during troubled times, people sometimes focus on themselves and the problems that they're facing instead of believing God through Jesus Christ to get them through the situation. You know, sometimes people feel like everything's up to them and what they can do. And then some people think they can't recover because of whatever mistakes or whatever else happened. And some people are always saying, if I'd only done this, if I'd only done this. Well, the truth is God wants us to live by faith in what Jesus did for us at the cross. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, He comes into our life. None of the things that I mentioned previously matter. They're gone. Amen? Now, I'm going to go to Galatians 3 for most of the teaching this morning. This is a great chapter. Galatians 3. I'm going to read verses 6 through 14. Galatians 3. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. Now this is talking to the children of Abraham. This is talking about the spiritual children of Abraham, not the physical descendants of Abraham. We have been adopted in. And I don't have time to go all into all that teaching. What's more, the scripture looks forward to this time when God makes the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. God proclaimed the good news to Abraham long ago, and he said, all nations will be blessed through you. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. But those who depend upon the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scripture says, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commandments that are written in God's book of the law. So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scripture said, it is through faith that the righteous person has life. This way of faith is very different from the way of the law, which says, it's through obeying the law that a person has life. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoings. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Now, this is talking about Abraham and having faith in God. to really understand what Paul is talking about here in Galatians, you need to go back and read in the Old Testament about the Abrahamic covenant. Now, if you go into the Old Testament, you'll find that there were many covenants, Adamic covenant, Mosaic covenant, all these covenants that God made. And God made a covenant with Abraham. And he said that he would bless him. He would redeem him spiritually from death. Sometimes in the word, when you're reading the Bible, you need to realize whether it means cessation of life are spiritual death, because the Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sin, yet we were breathing. So we were alive naturally, but we were dead spiritually. And so, in fact, if you want a really good explanation of this, get my dad's little book out there called Redeemed from the Curse of the Poverty, Sickness, and Death, which is second death. And God made a covenant with Abraham because he believed him. And through that covenant, he said he would bless him, not only in the spiritual area, but in the natural area. Now, it is, when we get come right back down to it, to us, it comes through Christ. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him righteous because he believed God. But us, it says Christ has rescued us or redeemed us. Here, we want you to realize that it's because of what Christ did on the cross. See, we need to trust in what happened at that cross. Now, we always talk about salvation, and thank God that it's the main part. But there was a whole lot of other things that took place at the cross also. One of the things is when we believe and trust in Jesus Christ, then all the promises of God become ours. The redemptive work of Christ on Calvary was sufficient and complete in itself. You remember on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." And then his last breath escaped him. What he was talking about when he said it is finished, he was talking about the redemption of mankind was finished. That's what he was talking about. It is finished. What is finished? The plan for the redemption of mankind from sin, sickness, and disease, from poverty and lack. See, sometimes when you're ministering, sometimes you zero in on different things, and sometimes we don't pick up on the whole picture. And that's why I realize many of you know some of this that I'm speaking today. Some are new and they don't know this, but you have to realize that it doesn't hurt any of us to be resharpened. How many of you have had to resharpen one of your knives? Sometimes we need to be resharpened on the things that Christ did when he said it is finished on the cross. He opened a whole brand new way of life when he said it's finished on the cross. You know, the redemption story is not a continuing story. It was finished. The redemption was finished when he said that and he drew that last breath. And it was finished. And the culmination of it came when he was raised from the dead and went to sit down at the right hand of the Father in the seat of power. You see, if you go study history, you'll find out that the person that sat at the king's right hand, that was the number one person with all the power in the kingdom. That's where you get that saying, the right-hand man. Anybody ever heard that saying before? See, Jesus is sitting there. He is sitting there. Now, it's not an installment plan. It was paid, and Jesus is sitting there, and he said that those that become a part of his church, the Lord Jesus Christ church, he said all power and authority has been given unto them. You know, we used to sing a song, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. See, the writer of the Hebrews, which either was the Apostle Paul or one of his compadres, because it has the Pauline language in it. Now, somebody said, well, what are you talking about? That's just the theological way of talking about the writings of Paul. We call it the Paulinian literature. That's what they call it and then the Johannian literature and all of those, just big words. But either Paul wrote it or one of his kind. And I sort of think Paul wrote it because it has so much in it that Paul would have known because he studied at the feet of the great priest. I just went blank, y'all. Galileo, yeah. I just went blank as I could be. See, hey, don't be afraid to not acknowledge a mistake, even when you're in front of a people preaching. Everybody makes mistakes. I just went blank as I could be. I couldn't think of nothing else. But he studied that. He knew all of these principles. That's why he could talk about Abraham the way he talked about him. That's why he could talk about a lot in all of his epistles. He could talk about this. You see, here, the writer here is convinced of the all sufficiency of Christ's redemptive work on Calvary. In Hebrews 9:12, it says this: with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered into the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Now, if you don't understand the Israelites in the Old Testament, you do not understand this verse of Scripture. Because once a year, the high priest would have to go behind the curtain. You had in the tabernacle and in the temple, you had the outer court. And then you had the inner court in the temple. Now you had the surrounding court around that. It was called the Holy of Holies. And that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. And that's where the anointing and the power of God resided. And once a year, that high priest had to go through special sanctification, cleansings, in order to walk into that room with the blood of the animal that had been killed and sacrificed for a covering for their sin. And then they would wipe some of the blood on a goat. They call it the scapegoat, and they turn it loose in the wilderness. They did it once a year. That's why the writer here says that once for all time secured our redemption. Now you see, that was a covering for sin. When Christ died on the cross and his blood was spilled on the cross, then when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior because of the blood he shed on Calvary, hey, it's once. We don't have to come back every day and ask for forgiveness as long as we live right and walk in line with the Word of God. If you happen to make a mistake, John says, just ask for forgiveness and go on down the road. Don't premeditate it now. That's another story. I ain't got time to go into that. All right. What Jesus did for us on that cross is he opened all of the promises of God for us. Now, just because you're born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the door is open for all of the promises doesn't mean that they're going to fall on you. Like my dad used to say, ripe cherries off a tree. I don't know where he got that from, but he did. I grew up in Pentecost, and if you'll go and study, the forefathers of the Pentecostal organization, they recognized and wholly trusted in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would sing songs like this: "My hope is built on nothing less than blood, Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Another song they would sing is, "I will sing of my Redeemer and of his wondrous love for me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing, my Redeemer, with the blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free." You know, we need to always come to God. Anytime we're coming to him, that's why Jesus said, pray in his name. We come in the all sufficiency of Christ's redemptive work at Calvary. Anybody getting anything out of this? Now, there's another thing we need to realize. Sometimes we don't. Well, I don't say we. Sometimes some people don't. Let me put it that way. The insufficiency of our human efforts. See, the battle that we face many times is letting go of what we can do. Why are we like that? Because that is our human nature. Our human nature is to take care of it ourselves. How many times, I'm going to prove it, how many times, guys, have you been messing, fixing something around the house or something, and your wife said, "Why don't you get a professional?" "Oh, no, I can do this, I can do this." And you get in a bigger mess. Anybody besides me want to raise your hand? That, and we go that way when it comes to the things, you know, of God sometimes. We're trying to help it. You know, well, God said this, and then we try to help him. See, we need to let go. Let go of our past success and failures. Let go of our education, our intelligence, or the lack of it. Doesn't make any difference what we got. It doesn't have anything to do with the sufficiency of Christ. It has everything to do with our insufficiency. You know, God has used people through the years, and there's hundreds of them. One of them being my father, Kenneth E. Hagin, coming off that bed of affliction. Many, many that have come to Rhema, that have gone out and realized their insufficiency. One that I'm thinking about is a great example of somebody, like he said to me when I was in Brazil with him before he went on be with the Lord. He said, I didn't have any special status. I'm just a truck driver. I'm talking about Bud Wright. Bud and Jan Wright came to Rhema. They graduated in 1983 and went to Brazil and started. He didn't go to language school. He learned the language on the street and began to minister to the people. He preached in the native language. Tim Rogers, that's head of Rhema Mexico. When he graduated from Rhema, he went down to Guatemala. He learned the language on the street and was preaching. And some of the people that was going to language school still couldn't preach. Down there in Mexico, they think he's one of them. He raised up I don't know how many Rhema campuses they have now. I don't know how many churches they have, 380, 400, I don't know. You know, all because a truck driver realized his insufficiency, but he recognized the sufficiency of Christ. I'm thinking of another young man. He graduated from Rhema in May of 1980. In September of 1980, he bought a one-way ticket to the Philippines, and he landed in the Manila, Philippines. didn't know anybody, and all he had was 20 U.S. dollars in his pocket. And now he has about 300 churches underneath his supervision, Rhema Mindanao, and he has over 600 pastors. They're not all of him from him, but it's other pastors from other denominations and some independent that have asked him to be help them be their head. And hey, it's all because he recognized his insufficiency and recognized the sufficiency of Christ and believing what the Bible says. That's what we all need to do. He didn't go over there with some big dream or some big vision. He just went over there and said, I'm going to minister the word. Come on now. I'm sitting here looking out at the congregation. There's John and Michelle Grunewald. There's Prince and Laura that are there. And they left the security of the U.S. to go to the mission field. Come on now. Many of you have left the security of where you were to follow God with what he's doing. And we need to quit, realize that the insufficiency that we have is taken up with the sufficiency of Christ. What causes us to step out of the aching void of nothingness with nothing under us except our faith? It's the sufficiency of what Christ did at Calvary. Come on now. Anybody getting anything out of this? There is no amount of human, physical, mental efforts that will ever enable you to receive from God. It all comes by using our faith. Stop trying to figure it out. Just believe God. Come on. How many times do we pray and then we start trying to figure out how God's going to answer our prayer? Several of you laugh because you've been there, right? How many of us have been there? We've all done it. When we pray, we need to believe God and then forget trying to figure out how it's going to happen. Just, okay. You know, we'd be a whole lot better off if we just listened to the word and quit listening to somebody else's ideas. You know, too many people get up and they begin to talk, well, this is what I think the Lord means. This is my idea about this. If God wants you to have it, he'll give it to you. Anybody ever heard that one? Yeah. The word doesn't say that. The word says that he has given us all of these things if we will believe. And it all comes back to what Christ did when he said, it is finished on that cross. Abraham got what he got because of his faith. And you will get what? From God, what he was promised by faith. We have to stand rock solid on faith. No matter what's going on, no matter whether we're in a good time, a bad time, or in between time, we have to stand rock solid on the faith of God's word and the sufficiency of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary to make it happen. That's it. It's our faith that is sufficient to receive from God. You don't need anything else. Faith. Believe and trust. And the sufficiency of Christ Jesus, and believe in the sufficiency of your faith to bring it to pass in your life. It's a whole lot easier to say it than it is to do it. Because the enemy comes to steal the word from you, so that you begin to think in your humanity instead of thinking in line with God's word. Now, my dad had a lot to say about thinking. In fact, he got a little book back there called Right and Wrong Thinking. Right thinking and wrong thinking. Do you know we have many Christians, many people that are born again? Their thinking is not right, so therefore their believing is not right, and therefore their receiving is not good. You have to think in line with God's word, no matter what anybody said, no matter what is happening. You know, I heard a person talking about they had some kind of illness and they was believing God for healing. And a person standing right there said, "Oh, you better get ready to go. My aunt had that and she died." Now, that is an opportunity for the devil to begin to work on you. You got to let stuff like that go. The enemy will send somebody on the radio, on the TV, across your path to give you something to try to get you thinking the opposite. You ever been watched a trial? That attorney will get an answer out of a person that he knows that the other attorney is going to object and the judge is going to say sustain, and they're going to wipe it off of the, it's where they type up the, it's not in there. They take it out of the court record. But they can't get it out of the mind of that juror. That's why he did it. That's why Satan will come at you with all kinds of stuff. And that's where you got to take control of your thought life. And that's where you got to say, "Hey, Mr. Devil, the sufficiency of Christ Jesus is sufficient. And I don't care what you say. First place, you're a liar. Because the Bible says so. He can't tell the truth." Now he'll come in and he'll use a portion of a scripture to try to get you, just like he did to Jesus in his temptation. See, I want you to realize what Smith Wigglesworth said in Ever-Increasing Faith. I think I wrote here page 47. It says, "Men need to be taken back to the old past, the old time faith, to believe God's word and every thus saith the Lord therein. The Spirit of the Lord is moving in these days. God is coming forth. If you want to be in the rising tide, you must accept all that God has said." Having faith in God and Christ's redemptive work at Calvary is not an archaic thing. The promises of God have not changed. The work of redemption is still the same. The way we receive from God has not changed. It's the same way that Abraham received, and it's by faith. By faith. By faith. only by faith in God's word and the redemptive act of Christ on Calvary do you receive any of these blessings. They belong to you. If you're born again, they belong to you. But you're only going to receive them when you put your faith to it. Your money that isn't in the bank, if you have a bank account, belongs to you. It's yours. But you're only going to be able to use it when you draw on it. Right? Go to the ATM, put your card in, get some money. Write a check to pay a bill. This is your bank account in heaven, right here. You want to write a check on it? You want to draw on it? Put in the card of faith and walk away knowing that it's been taken care of. Hello. How many of you work a job? Okay, put your hand up. How many of you have it where they don't give you a check, they just put it in your bank account? Okay. Whatever time it was, whether it's the 1st or the 15th or whatever, you never saw a penny of that. You never saw a green dollar bill. You just believed it was in your account, and you started using your credit card, using your ATM card, because you believed that it was there. Am I right or wrong? So why can't we believe what the word said and start using it? Because of the sufficiency of what Jesus bought for us when he said, "It is finished." Let me close it out. Galatians 3:14. Through Jesus Christ, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. How do we receive the promises of God? Through faith. No, don't try to have faith. It says in Mark 11:22, Jesus said, have faith in God. And then Mark 11:23, we all know what it says. For surely I say to you, whoever says this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in seed, does not doubt in his heart, believe that those things which he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. But it all comes back to the sufficiency of what Christ did at Calvary. I talked about these life-changing points this morning. The all-sufficiency of Christ's work at Calvary, the insufficiency of our human efforts, and the sufficiency of our faith to receive what God said belongs to us. And Mark says it like this: anything is possible if a person believes. Now he's talking about the things of God. I'm talking about spiritual things. Now some people won't take everything you say and go crazy with it. So one last thought. Let's take our eyes off of our situations, of the things around us, and let's put our faith solely in the redemptive work of Christ on Calvary. Heavenly Father, talk to these people for a few minutes today to remind them of what Calvary was all about. And that what Christ did at Calvary is sufficient for us in every area of our life. Father, I pray that each of us will walk in the reality and trust in what Christ did for us at Calvary. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Everybody stand. Anybody get anything out of this today? Praise the Lord. Somebody says, is that all you got? Yeah, that's all I got. Did the best I could with what I got to operate with. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's a great day, isn't it? Thank God we can be in church. I'm talking with several of my Rhema ministers out there. They're still having drive-by church. One of them said they get to go back to their church next Sunday. And we're already way down the road. I believe that we as a church, I'm talking about us. Thank God for those that are watching, but I'm talking about us sitting in this building. This is our church. And when I say the church, this is the building. The church is you. Each one of us together. We're family together. No matter who we are, what we look like, how fat we are, how slim we are, how tall we are, how short we are. We're family together. What's the matter back there? Dan and Anthony, I guess they represented what I said. I don't know. They started looking at one another. And but I believe that our health, our financial situation, as we have come through this situation that we've been in, it all goes back to the fact that we really understand and believe what God's word says, and we act like it's so, no matter what we see or what we don't see. I've had some of the ministers talk about that. Some of them have said that their finances have been down. Ours haven't. Amen. Let's continue to operate in the sufficiency of the redemption that Christ purchased for us at Calvary. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't need to start preaching again or teaching or whatever I did. Sometimes I preach and sometimes I teach and sometimes I teach and sometimes I just do something. So this morning maybe it's one of those times I just did something. I don't know whether you call it a message or whether you call it teaching or preaching or what. But anyway, I was up here. I hope it blessed somebody. There's nothing that I like to teach better than the redemptive realities of the cross of Calvary.